Hello, everyone. Welcome to As We See the Day Approaching. This is March 17th, 2023. And I have Andrew with me today. And we would like to discuss some things that are very, very important in this hour. Something I believe affects everyone, very, very critical within the body of Christ. Basically, the way I want to frame that is how to hear from God yourself, how to hear from God. And the other very much connected is the discerning of spirits. I just want to start off with prayer. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, to discuss your word, to share it. Lord, we ask that you just put a guard on our lips today, that your Holy Spirit speaks, just use these lips. We ask that you lead and guide the conversation and the prayers. And Father, we ask also that you help us all to hear, that our ears be unstopped, that we have acute hearing today, and your Holy Spirit will minister all that is discussed to each and every one and how it pertains to them. So, Father, we put this in your hands. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' holy name. Before we start, I just want to say, take everything that is said here today before the Lord yourself for confirmation, for further revelation, and how it may apply to you. Okay, so let me just start off by saying that, you know, in the Bible, discerning of spirits is listed as one of the spiritual gifts. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. And I'm going to list these, every single one of them. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word of faith, gifts of healing, works of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But we're going to specifically focus on discerning of spirits for a minute here today. And why do we need discerning of spirits? You know, first of all, the word discernment basically means the ability to recognize or judge well. Okay? The ability to recognize or judge well. And in 1 Corinthians 12:7, we're told the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the good of all. Every one of these gifts are given more, you know, to this one or to that one, but it's for the good of all. And these gifts are needed for the entire body of Christ. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 14:1 that we're to desire spiritual gifts. We're to desire. You know, and I can tell you from personal experience that whenever you get a body of believers together, a true body of believers, okay, say at a church, a Bible study or prayer groups, you know, where it's brought together by the Lord, he'll bring saints with various giftings. It's for the benefit of the entire group. And when I was led a couple of years ago to begin a prayer group, I asked the Father to bring people, Lord, help me, bring people that will help and assist. And he specifically said, I will bring those with the spiritual gifts needed for the good of the whole. And he's done that. He's done that. So the Word of God tells us spiritual gifts are needed within the body of Christ, that, you know, they're provided and distributed by God for the good of the whole. We're also told to desire spiritual gifts. And let's look closer at the gift, like I said, of discerning of spirits and how it's to be used. And the very first thing out of Jesus's mouth This tells you a lot. The very first thing out of Jesus' mouth when he was asked by his disciples about the, you know, the signs that they were to look for Jesus' coming, his second coming, and the end of the age, Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived. And in Matthew 24, the way it says, take heed that no man deceive you. So the number one thing Jesus warns us about is deception in this last hour. You know, if you do a research about the number of times the Word of God warns us about deception, the number of verses on the topic of deception in the Old and New Testament is staggering. I'm just going to narrow it down to a handful of verses dealing with the enemy infiltration within your life and the camp of God in general. There's self-deception. There's deception of the enemy. I'm not going to read whole sections here, but Ephesians 5, verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words. You're going to hear brethren, ministers, teachers with empty words. And Jeremiah 29, 8 says, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. And don't listen to the dreams which they dream. He's talking about those that are deceivers. And they're going to be telling you about dreams and visions and words and as if from the Lord. Now, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. We see a lot of that out there, don't we? And in Matthew 24, 24, it says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the very elect. So the scriptures are endless, which warn of deception being brought into the midst of believers through false doctrine, prophecy, you name it. Now we know the devil has his agents sent to infiltrate the churches, whether it be like Bible study groups, prayer groups, friendships, marriages, you name it. You know, one of the favorites of the enemy is to slip in lies with truth, to have mixture, to taint. It's amazing. Now, we know he does that, but there's other things where because you don't have spiritual discernment, you don't know how to hear from the Lord yourself, how to test the spirits of what you're hearing or what you're speaking, what you're hearing from God or what you're hearing, you know, what somebody purporting to be speaking on behalf of him. So how to use the gift of discernment of spirits. Number one, in 1 John 4, verse 1 to 6, it tells us to not automatically believe every spirit. You know, we're to test them to see whether they're of God. You know, there's a spirit of truth. There's a spirit of error. Doesn't mean somebody's trying to deceive you at all. It could be a spirit of error. And that deceiver slipping in there, right? And they're getting mixed messages. Sometimes they're hearing from God. I know some folks, sometimes they hear from God and sometimes it's not. How do you know? So we're going to segue, if you will, into the major piece, I believe, of all of this. Because scripture tells us that these giftings, and we're to desire the greater gifts, the better gifts, and one was prophecy because it edifies and things like that. But everything's going to fall away at some point. You know, love is the most important thing out, you know, that we desire and we have to have flowing through us. But gift of prophecy and some of these other things will not be needed. It is now. But there's a day coming when it's all is straight, you've got to know how to hear from God yourself. You receive the anointing for yourself. And in the days we're in, just like Jesus talked about in Matthew 25, the foolish virgins, the wise virgins, 10 in all, and when things began to like, wow, it's obvious Jesus is coming back soon, right? The call goes out. He's coming. Some of them have that close intimacy. They have plenty of oil in their lamps. They're full. But the others, no, they're running out. They don't have enough to make it. And what do? I think we're seeing that right now. They're going to others to see if they can get some of their anointing. They're scrambling, looking at who's got the latest prophecy, who's got the latest word, we've got to spend that time with the Lord ourselves for the anointing. So I'm going to stop here because I know Andrew has some things he'd like to say about, you know, developing intimacy with the Lord, about hearing from God yourself. Andrew?
Yes, as I was listening to Diana, and we had convened or met a couple of times a few days ago, and then before we came on just now, discernment of spirits and discernment overall is everything in this hour, because I think many of us agree, because of the times that we discern that Isaiah 60 speaks about, to the Rise and Shine Brigade, which I believe is everybody who was drawn to or called to listen to this, and where the Spirit of the Lord takes us. You know, we're in darker and darker times. We're waiting for bigger things that are close at hand. But before I go any further on the huge topic that we're going to, I think, greatly be led by the Spirit to expand on in upcoming episode or recording of hearing from God, I just want to give a quick testimony of two or three days ago when Diana and I talked and prayed and were asking the Spirit to help us. After we hung up, I was doing some other things, but I suddenly was very specifically led to a precise chapter in the Bible, which was Joshua chapter 9. And I won't read the whole thing right now, but I would highly recommend everyone taking a look at it again if you haven't lately. I am going to open it up, though, and basically at the beginning, it starts out saying, and it came to pass, all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan in the hills and in the lowland and on all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. So what did they hear about? Well, just prior to that, what it goes on to expand on is what Joshua and the children of Israel had done at Jericho and Ai, and taking down or out Sihon and Og. So they basically were freaking out, and they were gathering together five kings, so to speak, in the region to muster all of their forces and come against them, because they were terrified, so to speak. But the key to what really jumped out at me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, oh yeah. And I had not been in there for a little while. But verse 4 of Joshua talked about they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And I know many of us have probably heard this before, but this is a good reminder of some of the foundational things associated with what we're talking about. They took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves. All the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they came to Joshua and to the camp at Gilgal. And they said, basically, we've come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. And so basically, this is enemy encroachment dressed up as somebody that they're not. And they were very detailed about it, very compelling. You know, they had some conversation back and forth and they were questioning them. Like I said, I won't read the whole thing. They presented a compelling case. They were believable. They looked ragtag, hungry, the moldy stuff they were carrying. But the key verse to me that really jumped out and a reminder for us all, Joshua 9:14, then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. And the next verse says, Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers or the elders of the congregation swore to them. I think we all know that that's a big deal to Yah or to God, our Father. He takes covenants very, very seriously. So in this case, I would venture to say, based on the victory that he had led them through the two previous amazing victories, their discernment and view of the landscape ahead, as they know they have the promise of the promised land and they're being obedient and they're stepping out in war and in faith and seeing him move, they probably had pretty good discernment, but they dropped the ball. And it's a lesson and a reminder for us today of the very, very basics. And especially in this day and hour, we cannot make a major move, or even I would advise certain smaller steps, without inquiring of the Lord. How are we going to identify a subterfuge or a masquerade when we don't press in and seek him? I just thank the Holy Spirit that day for that reminder. And as I was reading it then, what really came to mind instantly, and we all know this verse, I think it's in Proverbs 3, 4 through 6, I believe, but it's lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our paths. So to hear from him, we have to ask for answers. You know, we take a step, we make a move, we make an agreement without inquiring. How are we going to hear? It's just, to me, it was like, wow. Every time he gives me a moment in some of our discussions and in our walk, we got to always examine ourselves in the faith, but especially on the foundations. Amen. And I think the thing that's really kind of amazing on how that's finished playing out, you know, the spirit of Yah was with Joshua, because after they realized what happened and that they had been deceived and they were marching to go against Gibeon, they figured out that they had been bamboozled. They could not take Gibeon out because they had sworn that they wouldn't. To me, what seems to be kind of a Romans 10 or 8:28 way, excuse me, where the Father takes all things to work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Well, this is the children of Israel that crossed the Jordan that's following him. There's nothing they can do to not be his children anymore. He's got them in his mighty and righteous right hand. He probably was very upset, shook his head. I can't believe they did that. But he then placed it in Joshua's heart to confront them and say, okay, but if you're going to live and you're going to be in our camp, so to speak, and you're going to be woodcutters and our water bearers. And it said at the end of the chapter, even into this day. So that's a way that the Father addressed it, and he gave Joshua the wisdom to do that. And it's even more fascinating, though, and just as a quick reminder, and it really popped into my mind that this same covenant that they made by not inquiring of him with part of the enemy, God honored it and valued it. And later on, King Saul violated that covenant and attacked Gibeon. And after that, it talked about David. And in that day, there was a famine in the land, and he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, because of the blood of Saul's house, meaning he knew that they had brought their sword against the Gibeonites and spilled blood after the children of Israel early on had promised to never do that on behalf of all the children of Israel. So David, what did he do? He stood in the gap. He addressed it, repented, covered it, and then the Father moved and began to heal the land, so to speak. So for me, I think that was a very good reminder. If we step or open our lips or try to discern, but we haven't asked him, I know it is so basic. But we also know that the enemy can also come and does often as an angel of light. We know that there are many ministries and ministers that may be operating intentionally for the enemy, or oftentimes many of them being used by the enemy without any comprehension of their own. But some of them are pretty slick with words. Some of them are pretty slick with doctrines of devils, things with infiltration, leaven, spirit of error. So I think it is absolutely critical to pray for the better gifts, and hopefully by the end of today, and before we really get into a lot of other things and testimonies and hopefully things that will help equip some of the body who wants to hear from him more, we can pray about that. The other thing before I turn it back to Diana that she knows, as we were talking earlier, and she said it herself in our prayer group and fellowship a week or so ago, very, very loud and clear. It is absolutely critical. Each and every one hear directly. Amen. And so I've got a few scriptures back to the basics, to the foundations. And sometimes it's good when we read or hear them. Amen. And in Hebrews, but also in Romans 10:17, it's confirmed, or a double witness. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're going to talk a whole lot more about that, and specifically about all the ways that we can hear up ahead. We know that the foundational ways, primarily though, number one, right there it is, hearing by the word of God. I think what pops into mind at the moment too is a verse that came to my mind from Amos, warning us about, here it is, Amos 8:11-12. At some point, this scripture from way back is going to manifest and come upon this earth, because he promises it prophetically back then and even for now. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. That's a terrifying thought to consider. And, the good news is we all know we're sheep. Regardless of our call, whether we're called to this, called to that, have this office or not, or we're a minister, it's not about titles and it's not about us. Amen. The bridal remnant, so to speak, that he's raised up for a time such as this, know that it's not about us. It's all about him. But in the foundational sense, we know that John 10 talks about hearing. And we're going to talk a lot up ahead about the still small voice. What does that really look like for people that have struggled, like I did it, or, you know, we have to learn how to hear that. And what are the ways that we hear him? Those are amazing things that I look forward, along with Diana, to sharing on. But in John 10, verse 1 through 4, we've all heard it, hopefully. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verses 7 and 8 also confirms again, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, pay attention, I am in the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. How many voices are coming at us from multiple directions? What kind of technologies are being employed by the enemy and the Luciferians? Signals, frequencies, broadcasts, programming, all of these things. But the good news is, besides being promised that we'll hear his voice, we're also being promised that we will not know the voice of strangers. And literally, the scripture in Isaiah 30, verse 21, it's so critical for up ahead. And that's why we're talking about all of this in addition to discernment. You know, we can't discern something that we haven't seen or we haven't heard. But for walking up ahead, not only his lamp, word being a lamp unto our path, being critical, but Isaiah 30, 21 reminds us, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Wow, this is an important hour. I can't stress it enough. And the only other thing to reinforce all of this foundational meat, which is just so amazing, is I had a little bit of a moment in Psalm 95 as well, praying and preparing just to talk for a little bit today. I highly recommend read Psalm 95 all the way. It's not super long, but this verse really jumped out with me in conjunction or confirmation with what I just shared. It's verse 6 and 7. This is the New King James. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And he goes on to talk and give an admonition and a warning about the hardening of hearts, and for those with ears to hear to not harden their hearts, as in the rebellion and the day of trial in the wilderness, the 40 years of wilderness that we all have read about and hopefully learned from. But I think it's great too in 6 and 7, he really, in those two little verses, he talks about part of the way of not only being his sheep and being led by him and hearing from him, but which we'll talk about a whole lot more. And we all know worshiping, we know that praying and the word itself is first and foremost, but he talks about positioning because he said, bow down, kneel before our intimate Lord and Maker, our King of Glory. It's about positioning and posture. Amen. And we can only do that as he continues to lead us in humility. To me, it's just so, it's so much like the cell phones of today, which there's been some a good word out recently and confirmation throughout the body and even in our fellowship, especially that we need to start to unplug from these things. But we all know we've got our phones with us on the road or whatever for emergencies. We've got them plugged into the charger for a while. Every once in a while, we forget to replug it, or we don't have the car charger and we're driving somewhere. And next thing you know, you're looking down and it's at 3 or 5%. These are the days that we have to stay plugged in like never before to His Word, which needs to be embedded on the tablets of our heart in love. And, you know, when Diana was talking about intimacy, I think we all know it's just, there's so many keys to that, keys to intimacy and abiding. We have to trust Him. Psalm 125:1, I had a big moment with that, by the way, a couple weeks ago. It really jumped out at me as the key to abiding under His mighty wings. So go look that one up. But we can't be intimate with Him without spending time with Him. And we won't spend time with Him if our hearts are not in the right condition. So anyway, I don't know what you might have to follow that with, Diana, but I think I've covered what I could for just the beginning of what we're getting ready to do by the Spirit. And I thank Him for bringing us back together and the honor and privilege of sharing and praying together for each other and for all of our siblings. Amen.
Amen, Andrew. Thank you so much for that. That just is beautiful words from Word of God to all of us. And just going to echo that. We have to hear from God directly in the days ahead, especially. I just want to share something the Lord gave about a year ago, a word from the Lord. And I believe today we can see even more so how crucial, how very critical it is to enter and dwell in that secret place with Him, that place of intimacy that Andrew was just talking about. Let me quote it real quickly. Consecrate yourself. I want to speak to you. Be very still and quiet in the days ahead. It's going to get noisy. Not many will be able to hear me. Listen for me. I will give you instructions. I will come to you. Now that's the end of the word, but brethren, it is so very critical. You and I are in position to hear the Lord's instructions to us. That everything, step by step, we're going to need to hear from Him for our very next step at times. And let me give you an example of that. The Lord gave me, it was an open vision, and I was walking down an aisle, like say the aisle of a bus, a big long bus, or it may have been a plane. I couldn't see the outside of it, just this aisle and seats on both sides. I was walking quickly down the aisle, and in front of me towards the, like say the front of the bus or plane, the big window, it was just the light of the Lord just shining brightly. And my eyes were fixed straight ahead. I only knew I was supposed to go to the end, make a right, and go down the steps onto the pavement. But I didn't know which way I was supposed to turn when I hit the pavement. I had no idea which way I was to turn. So needless to say, all my focus was on the bright light before me. And this is what He's calling our focus to be on Him. Getting oil from the Lord through intimacy with Him, you know, being still with Him. This is what He is calling upon us right now to do, to hear from Him, to train our ears to hear His voice only. Like He says, the voice of another will not follow. But we have a responsibility in this. And in the next episode, we're going to speak about developing that intimacy with Him. Like he alluded to, I love that, what you said, Andrew, when you said keys of intimacy. We're going to touch on these keys of intimacies. And we're going to give, God willing, some personal testimonies about this. So It's been life-saving to me more than a few times. And I know Andrew can raise his hand on that as well. So Andrew, would you go ahead and close us in prayer until next time, please?
Absolutely. Abba, Father, we thank you and praise you and honor you in and through the mighty name above all names, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yahushua HaMashiach, the King of glory, the only begotten, who you sent forth, who came in the flesh, representing you upon the earth as our Redeemer, our Savior, by the power of his blood. We thank you for the cost and the price that was paid for the greatest, most unimaginable love gift that was ever given. And thank you that the enemy could not discern it or didn't see it coming, or as the word says, he would not have crucified the King of glory. But because of your sovereign position, plan, ministry of reconciliation and restoration, we're here today with the honor and privilege of our siblings who listen in to give you glory for your faithfulness and your love. And we want to be fine-tuned in everything that's been discussed. We want to be in position, the right position. We want to be in the right posture. We want the right heart condition. Examine our hearts. Help us with anything coming against them. Renew and clean us with your Holy Spirit and a right spirit leading us to all truth and all remembrance of the things that you have spoken. Without you, Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. But by your presence in us and through us as a temple, we hear from you in the matters of discernment and discerning of spirits only by the gifting as you will, or we receive from you, I should say. And Diana and I lift up our brothers and sisters, each and every one, and pray for ourselves for the fullness of the gifting, as you will, of all of the gifts, but especially discernment and discerning of spirits. We thank you for the instructions throughout your word to put on our armor every day, to plead the blood, the power of the blood, which is bigger. But we thank you for these giftings because without them, we can do nothing. You are literally our spiritual GPS at the end of the age, and your word as a lamp into our path. Quicken us into your word. Quicken us into your loving kindness. Quicken us into your instructions. And yes, as Diana said, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and help us by the power of the blood to take authority against all weaponry and technologies also being employed against the people of God. Any and all waves, weapons, technologies, frequencies, broadcasts, mind control technologies. We put the blood between us and those things. We praise, honor, and glorify you for your faithfulness. We ask you to bless every one of our siblings who tunes in now or later and bring us back together next time for what you would say. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you all. We will see you next time in Jesus' name.